I was at the Radical North Unconference, sponsored by Jeff Webb, at Radical Recruit on Twitter. I had a very good time. Lots of smart people there. I'll talk about it later. Right now, I want to tell you that a few months ago, there was an article online about making excuses when you apologize. The author said, don't give the reasons why you did something wrong, because that's like making it seem as if you didn't do anything wrong, but that's not true. Let's say I get mad at you for being 2 hours late, and the reason I get mad is my voicemail wasn't working, so you left me a message and I didn't get it, and I went crazy. Now that's not the way I should behave. It was wrong. I apologize. I'm not denying it, but why not let the other guy know that I'm not totally nuts? I was provoked. Now, when I posted about that on Twitter, my good friend, the Resume Strategy, at Resume Strategy, if you want to follow her, she had to take the opposite view. She said something sarcastic about ogling your neighbor and then making some lame excuse to your wife. And in fact, a couple of weeks before that, I got caught ogling. And you know what? I had a good excuse for it. It was summertime, and this woman I know said hello to me at Starbucks, and when I turned around, I noticed she was wearing something low-cut, and I forgot about myself, and I just took a good look. What's wrong with that? I'll tell you what, she noticed. And she was wearing this little jacket over it that didn't come all the way around the front of her body. It was just supposed to cover the shoulders, and after my little faux pas, she kept trying to pull it together at the neck to cover herself, and I wanted to tell her, hey, I'm not looking anymore. But neither of us wanted to acknowledge that something had gone wrong, so we had this, like, awkward conversation, and I was very relieved when J.D. Jason Davis showed up, and I was able to say, goodbye! But my point is, I had an excuse. I didn't mean to be rude. I didn't want to be rude. She just kind of whacked me in the face with that top of hers. Now, that didn't give me license to do whatever I want, but I didn't go out looking for trouble either. I was provoked. Yes, I was. And you're going to be provoked, too, on Jerry. Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show.
Oh, what's all that noise again? We're just starting. August Cohen, are you there?
I am ready to rumble.
Is that your noise in the background? You know, before we even get going, I got to start troubling myself with that.
Not me. Not me.
Okay, I tell you what, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to make you sit at the side for it anyway, because Flash, I got breaking news before we got going. I got a big announcement to make. Jerry is coming back to Twitter. Yes, it's true. Jerry,
what?
Tell us a story. Over to you. I'm going to turn that music off and noise while you're telling everybody.
Okay. While it pains me to admit it, I'm coming back to Twitter. I've had numerous emails, phone calls, Facebook posts, I mean, all sorts of people saying, just come back, we miss you.
Okay,
and frankly, I can't let people down.
Okay, great, that's enough, okay?
Oh, that's enough? Some big story,
that.
And then you say that's enough?
Yeah, it's enough. Any comments from anybody?
I want to keep talking about it.
Well, we'll talk about it later. You
I
got your own show later on, right? You got your own show coming up. August Cohen, how are you?
I'm fine. It's going to be tough for me to top that announcement.
Yeah, they'll forget about
already.
It in a minute. They'll forget about
yeah.
it in a minute. August. Did anybody ever call you Augie Doggy?
No.
And your dad, Doggy Daddy?
No.
Yeah.
Who you are on this show, Augie Doggy and Doggy Daddy. Maybe Jerry can be Doggy Daddy. Anyway... let's go. Now, listen, August, here we'll start off. Did you hear my introduction?
Yes, I did. Had nothing.
Let's say I was at a networking event. Let's say I was at a networking event and that happened. What should I have done?
I think you did about all you could do. You know, you sort of both politely try to act like it didn't happen, you know, and just sort of move forward. You're not going to be able to take away the awkwardness. The only other thing you could have done was just flat out laughed about it. You know, either, you know, just pointed it out exactly and have a good laugh over it and move forward.
What did you do wrong?
What did I do wrong? I was staring at her chest. I mean, but just for a minute. I just took a good stare. I didn't mean it, but it happened, you know? Anyway. Okay. Anyway, you know what? Anyway, she should have been complimented. She wasn't a young woman. I'm just to say
yeah,
that, okay?
There you go.
Yeah, okay. Now, listen, let's get right into the Moravian myth. Are you familiar with that?
The Moravian myth?
It's got nothing to do with the war on terror. Don't worry about that. You know all this kind of crap that says that 90 – in fact, I read it in an article yesterday that 90% of in-person, face-to-face communication is conveyed through nonverbal actions. That's what she said, you know. Now, that's just a mindless repetition of a false reading of the work of a professor named Moravian, Albert Moravian, Al to you and me. Okay, have you heard of that?
There have been numerous articles, you know,
it's
that
garbage.
Is related to
don't
nonverbal.
Believe it. There's a video, a guy named @MartinChauval, Martin, S-H-O-V-A-L. He put out a little cartoon video about it, and they raised the main point, okay? If you can understand 90% of what a person is saying without hearing any words that have any meaning, it should be able to, you should be able to, you can understand a person speaking in Urdu or Chinese or any foreign language. 90%. I mean, you
yeah.
can certainly understand them, but it's not true. I can't take a job order in Urdu. I can't take a job order in Chinese or Tagalog or whatever, or French. I can't.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense, does it, August?
Yeah, I think the percentage is a little high, definitely. I wouldn't say 90% because you're right. If we could understand what other people are doing 90% nonverbally, we wouldn't need to communicate via our voice. But it does have an impact. I wouldn't say it's 90%. Whether you approach, you know, somebody confidently and look them in the eye, or if you're cowering, it definitely sets the tone. You know, if you're happy or depressed, it certainly can be read, but I don't think 90%. I agree. It's not that
high. You
know,
are you on a proper phone? I mean, you sound kind of muffled to me. Am I the only one again?
Yeah, she sounds fine.
Seconded. She sounds fine.
Okay. Anyway. Okay, August, I got lots of questions. As you know, lots of people posted questions on Twitter yesterday to ask you. Do you have any place you'd like to start off?
No. Well, maybe one place is how I define networking, because I saw a lot of people say, well, where's the best place to network? You know, is it lunch? Is it dinner? Is it this or that? To me, networking is...
Yeah, the topic, we should let people know you're a specialist, according to your own claim, in face-to-face networking. Is that true? Yes or no?
Yes, I am. Expert,
okay,
yep.
And you base that on your previous experience. I thought you were a medical sales rep, but you were some kind of insurance salesperson. Is that true?
No, I was in niche market sales to the insurance industry. I sold financial products, niche market credit insurance, insurance premium. So it was very niche. It was executive sales, calling on C-level. So, yeah, I did that for about, you know, 15, 17 years. Yep.
Okay, so you sold is sort of insurance to insurance. Is that right?
No, I sold insurance to large corporations, multinational, you know, Fortune, you know, 1,000 companies, and I sold other products to independent national
insurance.
Yeah,
so you weren't
agencies.
Going to the Rotary Club meeting and trying to get people to buy life insurance for $50 a month
No, nothing like that. No, I mean, my territory in one market was almost $200 million.
Mm.
So, you know, it was more that type of thing. You know, average sales depending on, you know, I sold a bunch of different products. But, yeah, it was high-level sales.
Okay, and I noticed in your LinkedIn profile, which is easily accessible right from Blog Talk Radio or recruitinganimal.com, you studied some kind of criminal justice program at the University of Arkansas. Am I right about that?
that my undergraduate degree was in criminal justice originally.
Yeah,
I thought
did
I
that
was
say something right off the bat, though, about your personality? You're a little different. You'd like to be a police person, a policeman or police woman who grills people and
probably
you know,
a police woman.
Yeah.
No, what it actually means animal is I didn't want to take statistics, which was required for my original major, so I took criminal justice because it was easier. That's what it says.
No math. We
like
all do
criminal
that.
Justice, is criminal justice like basket weaving or something like that? You know,
pre-law.
Is it easy?
It's called pre-law now. The degree was changed to pre-law for who wanted to go to be an attorney, and that's why I ended up getting a master's
okay,
in
yeah,
operations.
Okay, I don't care that much. I just wanted to know if you're some kind of tough guy who likes going and you know putting people up against the wall and grilling them and walking away whenever you want. That's not you though, right?
Maybe a little bit.
Okay, there you go. Okay, so what's networking by your definition? What's your definition of face-to-face networking or whatever?
When two people are close enough to speak to each other, if you are in a proximate area where you can have a conversation with somebody else, that's networking. So it could be standing in line, it could be sitting next to someone at a bar, or it could be a large event.
Is that supposed to be a revelation? Come on. It's not interesting. What's the next thing you want
to
say?
It's not interesting to, you know, the panel because we're all very sophisticated in it. But when we get questions all the time, it's like, where do I network? What's networking? What's this? That's the problem with networking. People have made it into this big behemoth thing, like you need to have a PhD to learn how to do it, and it's pretty simple.
No, I'll tell you what networking is. I'll tell you what networking is, even within the context that you define it. That's a lousy definition. Networking is when you go and meet a bunch of strangers and you try to make contacts with them that are going to profit you, right?
I like my definition better. You don't have to meet a bunch of strangers. You know, you don't.
Then it's not networking. It's not networking. If I go for a beer with Jerry, that's not networking. I know the guy already, isn't it?
That's what we've turned it into. It's purposeful now.
It could lead to something else. It still could lead to a business deal. It could lead to a new introduction. I consider
getting
everything
networking.
Getting to know
you. Getting to know all about you.
Getting to
getting
like
to know
you.
Hoping that you something
like
me.
Getting to hope you like me.
That's right. Okay.
Pretty good.
Thank
That's
you.
Pretty good.
Thank you. Okay. So, you know, Maureen asked the question then, you know, what's networking? A church event? Yes, right? What's the best place to F to F? F to F for the unsophisticated means face-to-face network. Well, it could be anywhere. We're talking about networking for business here, aren't we?
Yeah.
What kind of places did you network at?
Well, I felt I networked everywhere, and I've gotten business from sitting next to somebody at a bar, from standing in line, to large events, and it also depends on the person. For me, I like, you know, the larger networking business after-hour events, association events, lunch and learns, continuing education, but a lot of people are really a lot of people are intimidated by that, so they're not going to leave the house, and so for them, maybe it is a smaller, more intimate group. Maybe it is reaching out to somebody through LinkedIn and having a one-on-one lunch.
Do I have to tell you what you just said? Don't reach out to anybody, okay? Unless you're real desperate. Now, look.
I got my list of animal bad words, and I plan on using them all.
Okay, Augie. Now, listen, let's narrow in on one of those things. You said an after-hours association event. Is it always one that you're a member of yourself, or what kind of association events did you go? So give us an example of your own experience. I got to tell you something. You know what? A pretty girl sitting at a bar networking, is that really? I mean, that's not something I can do, okay?
Yeah, well, I think that's a big misnomer, and that's what one of the questions
misnomer
you had.
Misnomer or mistake? Misnomer means calling something by its wrong name, like reaching out, okay?
Well, you know, that's sort of sexist because it's assuming that you only network with the opposite sex. I sat at a bar and met a recruiter next to me who was a lady. I was reading a magazine called Workforce Management. She looks over and says, are you in HR? You know, a year and a half, 2 years later, we become friends. She's referred business to me. I referred business to her. that was networking. So she's a woman. She's a young, attractive woman. So to assume that, you know, just because you're attractive, you're going to have an advantage or that's going to make it easier.
Hey,
well,
does anybody agree with me?
Women,
who agrees with me on this one and who agrees with
We've established a long time ago being hot helps.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can hurt with, but if your prospect is a woman, it can hurt. You know, if you go there, they can be intimidated or jealous or hopefully not. But for every advantage you have with a man, you could have a disadvantage that's going to equal
okay,
it out
okay,
by
okay.
women.
Okay, we got the point. Why drag it out? We understand where you're going. We're not stupid, okay? This show just gets to the point. Now, tell us a story. You said you brought some networking stories with you, right?
Sure. Well, the one I just said where I sat at the bar, but, you know, I go
how did it happen? Oh, she asked you. We're talking about you networking with her, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, I had to take a drink. But, that's one of the suggestions I give to my clients is take a magazine, take a Kindle, take something that will intrigue somebody else and prompt
Let's
them.
Let's do a survey. Survey. I've always got a book in my hand. No one ever talks to me. Sometimes I want to talk to people about the books they're reading, and they get kind of scared, okay? Now,
Animal, have
you're
seen you?
Yeah, you're scary.
Who agrees? Who agrees with her that's going to work? Taking a book or magazine that's going to attract the inquisitive observer. Anybody want to agree with her? I'm just going to assume we all disagree.
I had a client that would take her Kindle to the gym, would take her out to eat, and people love that. You know, they're just intrigued by it. You know, a droid. Every time I see a droid, I was on the plane when I was going out to a conference recently. The guy next to me had a droid.
Yeah, you know what? We got that. I see where that's going. You don't have to finish a story like that.
It's
okay.
A prop. It's a conversation piece. Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Especially, if you take an iPad somewhere, you're right. Maybe, you know, invest $400 in your networking. No problem. Okay. Come on, tell us another story.
Magazine isn't that expensive. Yeah, well, another.
Yeah, but nobody's going to attract if you're a magazine. Nobody comes to you with your, hey, I read commentary too. Okay, go ahead.
You know, I'll give an example of one of my one example that I use. Like, I go to the American Marketing Association, the AMA. I'm not a member, but a lot of what I do involves marketing, so I go to these meetings a lot. And what I do and what I encourage my clients to do is ask intelligent questions. So I'll go there, you know, if it's a panel I'm interested in, I'll ask a question that usually prompts people to come up during break and want to continue talking to me about that question. And from that point on, they'll find out what I do. We exchange cards.
Give me an example.
Well, there was a panel of the chief marketing officers. The question I asked two questions. One of them was, what did they see as hot in the future that was coming down the pike in social media?
There's that word again.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Which was location-based technology. And another question I asked was, how do you measure the results from social media? So that prompted a lot of people to come up to me during break and ask about that. They were intrigued about it. They had information about it. And through that, they found out what I did. And several of them, I've gotten at least three clients out of going to several of these networking events, because then it can show that I'm a resume writer who's also savvy in marketing and social media, which is what they want to reflect on their resume.
Anybody want to comment? Any comments?
No.
Yeah, it works.
Okay, thanks. Okay, next story, August. August, next. Okay, you know, August, so next.
Well, another story, you know, that I observed two ladies at an event that I talked about, and this goes back to not having the elevator speech, not having this abrasive pitch that you ram down somebody's throat when you meet them. We're sitting around talking. Lady asks the other lady, you know, what did you do today? She talks about how she was investigating this private school. It was a disappointment. The other lady was familiar with it. They started chatting. Halfway down the conversation, they got to, what do you do? It turns out she was unemployed, looking for a job. This lady, you know, is offering to help.
Is lady a term people use anymore? Lady is like 50 or 80 years old. I mean, really, this woman, okay?
lady.
Come
you know,
on, Animal. You can't even say lady now.
Not really. Yeah. Is your wife a lady, Jerry?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they prefer
yeah,
to be called names. But it was just a good example of how, just through conversation, they were able to develop a pretty quick relationship. This other professional was interested in helping her. Her husband had some connections in the industry. And then it was interesting how around the table, everybody else started chiming in with ideas of how to get her employed. So if she had did like a lot of people are trained when they go to a networking where she just started with this elevator speech, she probably would have turned everybody off and everybody would have just gone around. But at the end, she had like a whole community trying to help her get employed just by being nice and polite and talking about something interesting that happened with her during the day.
Okay, so now you've made your first big claim, no elevator speech. Does anybody agree with her?
I do.
Absolutely.
Why? Well,
because
there's a caveat to it. There's a caveat to it. You've got to still...
Who's the caveater? Oh, Dr. Nick, right?
Howdy.
Go ahead.
You've got to have strong confidence in your points and assets to be able to not have a pitch. If you don't have strong confidence in your points and assets, then
what's
you
a point
need
and
to
asset? Come on, tell us. Don't keep it secret. What's a point and an asset?
Well, if you're trying to get a job, you have to know where your skills and what your focus and goal is in that. In this conversation, if you're in a business setting,
that sounds like an elevator speech to me. You know your stuff, Janice. I'll go to you. What do you do, Janice?
I don't agree with an elevator speech because.
I meet you at a party. What do you do? Hey, Janice. What do you do? What do you do, Janice? What's your business?
I'm in career management for 3 decades.
Career
elevator speech.
It's not
that's
an elevator speech. Elevator
we got
speech,
you.
The scripted is a – I mean, we've been asking each other. We've been schmoozing it up, which is what I call networking, for centuries, okay? And asking somebody what they do does not require the whole breakdown of an elevator speech, which is scripted. These job seekers have it memorized.
Some idiot doesn't know how to talk. That's not the same thing as having your identification information at your fingertips. You guys prep people to career management. That's a weird term. Let me tell you right off the bat. You should say I'm a resume writer and a career coach. Those are better. My advice, but you know, it's when someone has to have you probably prep people to know what you just like your points and assets, just like Dr. Nick said, you got to know those things. So if someone says, "What do? Man, you tell them right away if they want to know.
Telling them right away, you can just identify your job title, and then you go on to some other conversation or respond back to them and ask them what they do. The point is not to spend 45 or 60 seconds laying out this litany of stuff.
Yeah,
that
well, only an idiot does that, okay?
Oh, there's
so
a lot of idiots around.
Train to it.
There's
people
a lot of idiots,
trained.
Okay? That's why you're in business.
Well, why
exactly.
Don't you... Why don't you set the playing field? Are we actually in a networking event where you're almost expected to do that, or is this more of a conservative type event?
What do you mean by that? You're in a networking event where you're expected to do that. That's the boy wonder there, right?
Yeah. For example,
okay.
We're part of a job search networking event.
Just let me say something, Jen Bowen. Let me say something. You're ridiculous, not me. I read what you said. Go ahead.
Okay. So where you're expected to go up to people with offering to be able to help them as well as to be able to introduce yourself. Okay. Now, there's other types of networking events that are more laid back but they're for a purpose. It's to meet people where conversationally
you
should be introducing yourself.
Look, just because you're at a formal networking event doesn't mean that you can use a mindless, canned little speech that you regurgitate like a monkey. No, you can't do that anywhere.
But that's what people
should have
elevator pitches are, though, Animal.
No,
that's
they
what people
aren't.
They are.
No, you have a little profile to explain.
Aren't
you, know
you supposed to have,
it?
Like, a value statement?
Like, what do you mean, Jerry?
I don't know. Wasn't that one of the latest buzzwords going around?
I
don't
hate
tell
it
people
when they
what
have
you
those...
do. You know, you're supposed to say what value you bring because you're not tied to a company and all that.
August, just take a seat for a second, will you? Now, when they say don't say I'm a resume writer, you say I help executives be superstars. What does that mean? I hate that kind of crap,
yep.
And they have it in those books.
And that's what I hate. That's exactly what I hate. You know, it's just vague, obtuse kind of thing that makes it turns people off instead of you want to engage them enough so they do ask questions and it's a back and forth and they're intrigued. But some of the other networking experts out there are training people to say, you know, when they ask, what do you do? It's like, I increase sales 300% and help companies. And instead of being interesting, it's so weird, you don't even want to talk to them. You know, where if you just start
sales pitching you, that's why.
Yeah, it's just so weird. It's like, don't make me work so hard to find out what you do. Just state what you do. I don't think you have to even do your value prop. You can just say, I'm a resume writer and career coach. Hey, what do you do? You know, just immediately go to the other person and engage in a back and forth and let it evolve.
Shouldn't you have your LinkedIn headline memorized and just lay that on whoever asks you?
No, but, you know, that's a whole different animal, you know, how you use
animal.
That. But, no, you do have to understand.
Now, I have a friend in Indiana who told me it helps if you mirror people, you know. Is that true?
Yeah.
I don't agree. I'm not an actor. Do you do that?
Yes, humans naturally do it to a degree. If you observe,
we're talking about deliberate. Don't. Why do people have to try to sidestep the question? Geek me out.
Animal.
I don't think people do it.
Animal.
I don't think people naturally do it.
Animal. Since I'm back on Twitter now with a vengeance. Jeff Dickey Chasins, aka Job Board Doctor, would like you to stop talking over people and let Augie talk.
No, I'll guide Augie. Okay, that's my job. That's what I'm here for.
Like,
you want to ask me what I do? I'm a conversational guide. Okay, job board doctor.
Where were we?
Where were we? Jerry was going to tell us about mirroring people or somebody.
You and your friend from Indiana were talking about that, I'm pretty sure he would have said on the telephone, not in person.
Well, then he's an idiot because this is all about meeting people in person, isn't it? August, over to you.
I don't know about that.
Yes, you can to a degree. I don't. You naturally do it if you're sort of a conversational person. If you try too hard to practice this stuff, it looks practiced. You know, and I've been in these courses, you know, where they go, if somebody lifts their hand up, you lift their hand up. If somebody cocks their head, you know.
Good Lord, that's right, Janice. You should say that to the trainer, moron.
Nobody does that.
That's why I'm here to dispel these myths. You know,
Lefkowitz teaches that. Peter Lefkowitz, he's a recruiting trainer whom Janice and the Boy Wonder love. He told, when I saw him, he said he was on a trip across the country or something, and he was talking to a guy with a gravelly voice, and he imitated that guy's voice. And then when he met him for business, the guy was totally shocked because he didn't really talk like that.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, that's ridiculous,
weird.
I know.
But what we take it to mean, the way we use it is this. If you've got a fast-paced type A, and you're slow and methodical, pitch it up a little bit because your type A ain't going to – you're not going
to keep it. Hey, Janice, have you ever heard this show, how hard it is to get people to pitch it up? People don't change. You can't – what about these people, they tell you they're melancholy types? Are they going to strike out networking every time?
You have to find the networking that appeals to you. You know, a melancholy type isn't going to go to a real fun, active event. They might want a one-on-one type of event, you know, and that's why I don't like these rules that everybody has and this preparation, you know.
Okay, what about dressing? You know what? We get the ideas. As soon as you're kind of saying them, you have to drag them out. On this show, we understand, okay? Now, what about dressing like the other person? If you're going to mirror the way they talk and move, some people advise. What about dressing like everybody else? Can you be – like, look at Dave Graziano. He likes to wear a nice suit, and he would not wear a cheap suit just to dress down to the people he's going to be mixing with.
No, you don't do that. You dress appropriately for the event. If it's a networking picnic, you wear, you know, professional casual attire. If you're going to an after hours event, you wear a suit or, you know, a nice business casual. You dress for the event. I mean, how do you even know what the person's going to wear? You would drive yourself nuts trying to figure that out. You know, that doesn't make any sense, Animal.
Okay.
I never heard
that. Anybody else want to comment now? Anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? 609, you just joined. Would you like to say something? 9:10.
A stringer. I'm in the car on a speakerphone. I can't.
Okay, a stringer. Okay, 9:10. You want to say something? Hey, where's area code 9:10? He's always on his speakerphone too. Area code 416. Nope. Area code 512. Who's that?
Texas.
Hey, it's Blake. What's going on?
You want to say something to August?
No, man. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on, August.
Yeah, I can't hear
anything. So you don't hear all
that. Okay, we'll get back.
Okay,
great. Now, August, I did a little research, okay? And one of the networking books I read, I think it's a good one. It's called Nonstop Networking by Andrea R. Nierenberg, the Queen of Networking. And she said, I'm going to show you how to start a conversation, how to break into conversational groups, how to keep it going, how to learn about others, how to have a way to follow up, how to do a 30-second infomercial, how to set realistic goals, how to have an exit strategy when you want the conversation to end. Now, do you want to address any of those topics? Because I'm ready to take them on.
I'll take them on, too. I mean, that's an awful lot of stuff for somebody to remember just to go to a job-seeking event. It doesn't even sound fun.
First of all, she says you have to have goals. You have to have goals. And one of the goals, she said, if you're shy or melancholy or whatever, she says just make it a small goal to meet to talk to two people. That's reasonable, isn't it?
Yeah, it's reasonable, but maybe they don't want to go to a big event. Maybe there's another way to do it. And it's fine to have goals. You know, you want purposeful networking, especially if you're a job seeker. So
what are your goals? What are your goals? Who's breathing heavy? Jerry, is that you? Okay, what are your goals? And you go to a meeting, August.
It's to promote my brand, to create awareness of what certified resume writers do, to meet new people, to offer assistance, and to have fun. I don't make it too complicated. You know, I definitely want to expand my circle.
That sounds complicated to me. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody else got goals when they got networking? Anybody else got networking goals? You don't go out and say, I'm going to meet five people or anything like that, right? You're the
sure.
general.
I don't put that kind of expectation, you know, because one, I've done it enough that I know I'm successful at it, and I have a good attitude about it. I go into it knowing that it's going to be fun. It's going to be an event where I'm going to increase my network, probably get, you know, some business out of it. So that's, so I've been doing
yeah,
it long
okay.
enough
you know,
that I don't worry about
it. You shorten your answers on this show. Shorten those answers. Here's what she says. She's got a bunch of get-to-know-you questions. Do you have any?
Nothing, you know, just normal conversation. Nothing. It depends on the type of the event.
You know what? You know what? You know what? People listening to this show or people who buy a networking book, they don't know how to have a normal conversation. Is that right? Okay, that's true. Some people don't know. What you consider normal is a talent of yours, okay? Now, here's hers. How did you happen to come here? How did you like the speaker? Have you come to these meetings before? What do you think of them? What business are you in? What do you do? Tell me about one of your recent projects. Where do you live? I'm wondering about that one. What do you do when you're not working? I think that's a taboo topic. What do you love about your work? That's pretty corny. Anybody want to comment on those?
It's just that's exactly – it depends on the type of event that you're going to. If it's a lunch and learner, continuing education event, that's a perfect segue into some of what she said. Where did you like the – do you believe what the speaker said? Do you agree with the speaker said? Have you been to these before? You know, do you have any other ones that you could suggest that maybe I need to do, you know, that you can recommend? So things like that. You know, think of the event that you're going to and tie your questions to the event. If not, you know, the quote-unquote normal, like she said, you know, the weather, the food at the event, the accommodations at the event, the drive, those little things like that, just start a conversation.
You want to know something? I sat beside Jerry at Recruit Fest. Oh, wait, I didn't have anything to talk to him about. What am I going to talk to him about? The ravioli? I was eating vegetarian and he was eating
meat. In fact, I wanted you removed from our conversation,
you
as I recall.
I actually went up. I got up from our table and went to get a coffee, and I actually started talking with Julia Stone at the coffee thing, and I said, I have to get back to the people I'm sitting with. She said, you just want to dump me, don't you? I mean, like, I get into trouble. I am not good when I have to meet people, you know, or I can't just walk away from them. It's very difficult. And here's another difficult thing I have. She, you know, the woman in this book praises listening. For my book, listening is way overrated because later on she says people don't like anything better than listening to someone who's knowledgeable. But it's hard to be knowledgeable. I read the paper. She says become conversant with current affairs. I read the paper every day. But you know what? I can't talk in detail about many issues. What do you do?
I don't. That's way too complicated. You know, all these things that you have to do. That's well. One, I don't know that you're a good example of networking because you don't like to get out there and do it. So you're sort of the exception to the rule. But I just go out there and talk about the things that I, you know, depending on the event, is how I sort of gauge what I'm interested in talking about.
You know what? Let me
about.
Ask you
I
something. When
listen.
People have heard enough about resumes, how do they dump you?
Well, they don't. I don't expect that they're going to be at my side the whole time of a networking event. Networking events are about to mingle. So, I mean, sometimes I walk away. Sometimes they have somebody else that they want to. But I don't take offense to it. I mean, it's not an insult.
How about saying, "Hey, really nice to meet you," and then move on?
Yeah, you know, or look forward to seeing you again, or take the person, offer to take the person with you. Like, there's times when I don't want to continue the conversation with someone. I want to get out of it. So I might say, I'm going to head over and get a drink. Would you like to join me? Often they don't, or if they do, as they're walking over, you start talking to other people and you sort of eventually separate yourself from them. So usually just inviting the person to go with you is going to eliminate them half of the time, and the other half of the time if they start following you, you'll run into other people and you can get rid of them. But I don't take offense if at a networking event people want to move on and mingle with other people, and also it's a great way for you to take that person and introduce them to other people, and you can be a catalyst for them, which will leave a favorable impression, you know, for them. So take them around and introduce them to somebody else and get rid of them that way if you don't want to talk to them.
Does anybody else
nine out
have
of ten
trouble?
Times, not
go
nine
ahead,
out
boy.
Of ten times if you're bored with the conversation, the other person's pretty bored with it, too. They're just as willing to move on as you are.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true. I had a conversation with some guy about religion the other day, and you know, I was ready to go, but he was smart and everything, but you know, I just heard enough of, and I couldn't stop.
Michael,
him.
I'm right here.
Well, just say you need to go get a drink. You need to go make a phone call.
They know. She wants to get rid of me. She is dumping me.
So what? That kind of person, you're probably not going to get any business out of. You're not.
So you don't mind.
See
you don't mind hurting people if necessary. Is that what you're saying? You don't mind hurting people if necessary.
Well, I don't consider hurting that. You know, they're not respecting my boundaries, so why am I going to be concerned about, you know, people?
Why am
people
I going
like
to be concerned about
people.
Them? Just spit it out. I want to know exactly what you're saying.
So,
you say,
exactly.
I'm not going to care about some loser if they don't know when I'm trying to shake them. Is that what you're saying?
Couldn't have said it better.
Okay,
it
there
better.
You go. Yeah, this woman, in the book that I read, she says, you can use, please excuse me, I see a friend I'd like to visit with. What am I, borscht? Chop liver? Really?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I would just offer to introduce them, but if there's somebody that they're abrasive or they don't understand the boundaries, you know, well, maybe I need to be the one that gives them a little bit of education and cuts them off. But, no, I don't feel bad about doing that.
Okay. Anybody else got a question for Augie? Augie Doggy.
No.
Five.
Well, I've got
four.
A point.
Go ahead.
What it's either August or the lady in the book brought up the points that if you begin your conversation talking about third party things, the speech, the weather, and then zero in on what do you do, that's not quite as intrusive. And I agree with that. I can hear you saying that.
Yeah, absolutely.
August, should we ask you how you met your husband?
He's adorable.
No.
What if somebody said, oh, August Cone's were the priests, and you know how they used to bless the people the way that Mr. Spock did, right? And they show you how Mr. Spock used to hold his fingers like that, and they say, live long and prosper, and then they start talking about Star Trek. What do you do, August?
I just say, I like the Star Trek movies. Favorite Star
Trek. And how long? How long in terms of 5 minutes, 10 minutes? How long are you going to listen to them talk about Star Trek?
No, that's the thing. There's no rule. It's how long you enjoy talking about it.
Okay.
If you enjoy talking about it, it goes on and on. Maybe you'll meet for lunch or go to the Star Trek movie together, and it'll lead to something.
Okay,
but if you're not interested,
there you go. You're into a new topic. Follow up. Do you follow up with these people?
Yes, I do. If I want to, if I think there's going to be, if I enjoy them, you know, I'm going to follow up with them. If I enjoy them, their conversation, that may lead to a friendship. If I believe that it could lead to business
opportunities.
Who's
making noise? What's going on? Is that music or just noise?
Not me, man. Not me.
Okay, give us a story about follow-ups, please.
follow-ups. Well, I mean, that happens every time. You know, I had a situation where I talked to someone who was a member of another association. I just followed up with them casually with no agenda, you know, agreed to, you know, I connected with them on LinkedIn. Their association needed a, was doing a job, like a net job search event at their annual meeting. So they contacted me and said, would you come be a speaker on the expert panel and talk about resume writing? So I said, what's your budget? You know, and they said, we don't typically, you know, pay for our speakers. And I told them why, you know, that I always, I would only speak for a fee. They agreed to get it done. And then I went and, I went and sat on the panel. So that led to something, you know, this was recently that happened. It was just nothing that I thought was going to get there. It was just networking and expanding my connections. But he knew enough about what I did. We engaged over LinkedIn, and it happened.
Yeah, LinkedIn is a real nothing for the – come on. What's linking it to LinkedIn? That means nothing, really, does it?
It means everything. LinkedIn means everything. It's a wonderful way to follow. It's a way to start, you know, face-to-face networking if you haven't met the person but you've engaged on LinkedIn. I've met many people through LinkedIn, some who want my help, some who want more information.
Tell me a story. I get letters from people from LinkedIn. They want jobs that I can't fill. Place them in, you know. They're just random people knocking on my door.
Yeah, well, if they're random people knocking on your door and you don't think, and you're thinking they only want free service, you know, push them back, you know, give pushback. But if it's someone that, you know, a friend of mine referred somebody who was coming into town and is more so formed with a friend, I'll go and agree to meet them, like I meet them for lunch or coffee. I met a lady who just moved from Texas, didn't know anybody and just wanted to know some groups to join and that type of thing. And so I was happy to meet with her and just told her about the area.
You know what? Did you just change the topic to get out of what you, you know, back out of it? She didn't meet that lady on LinkedIn. You were introduced to her. A friend said, can you take my pal to lunch, right? Come
she
back to LinkedIn. I want to know how you made a contact on LinkedIn. Now, we can make them, you know, job hunter, you know, recruiters call you up. We got something. That's a job board, really. Yeah, but
yeah,
you tell me.
Well, I mean, you know, it depends on what I've met. Friends on LinkedIn, this person introduced the person to me via LinkedIn, sent the profiles together. But I have recruiters contact me. I have a great recruiting relationship. My recruiter who contacted me via LinkedIn just wanted to find out a little bit more about what I do, what he does. So we talked, you know, did I have anybody, candidates who would fit what he needed? He knew about my service, and he refers clients to me regularly, including his son. I did the resume for his son, which he was thrilled with. So that was a great relationship I've established. I have another recruiter the same way, specializes in technical science. So, yeah, LinkedIn has
Jerry's
been very
groaning.
Powerful.
Ask Jerry why he's groaning. Ask Jerry. You ask him why he's groaning.
My attention is just starting to drift. What are we talking about?
She goes on a little too long with those answers. Yeah, Jerry's got to go to the refresh his drink. He's going to refresh his drink or talk to someone else on the
other
side of the room.
I've been drinking all day.
But that doesn't make us feel bad, does it? Now, August, that's another thing. This woman talks about befriending people who are by themselves. You say, you know, you'll drag someone over to meet other people, but you're hoping you kind of lose them along the way. Do you ever, you know, befriend some poor, lost, someone who's some wallflower?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, I don't see anything wrong with that. You know, just start a conversation. It depends on what the type of organization. If I'm a part of the organization, that might be a role, and that's a great way for people who are uncomfortable with networking to go to a place and offer to volunteer, and then they're in a role where they're sort of expected to do that. So then they're. Not
I agree with you because that gives you something to do, something to talk about, and you're busy. You say, I got to go and fulfill my duties now. That's great. If you join a professional association, that's a little different than what we're talking about. We're talking about mixing with strangers, right? And having and being a freelance. You don't have a structured role. I read once, you know, some journalist said, just pretend you're a journalist and go interview people. I'm not a journalist. I can't go and interview people. Give me a break. You don't have that structure. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
Nonsense.
Alone, just say, you know, is this your first time? You know, have you been to these events before?
It really is that easy.
It is. You know, you're trying
it's
to make
easy.
It
easy. Janice said it's easy. Is that what Janice said?
That's what Janice
said.
Okay.
It really
tell
is
us
that easy.
You know, she's a natural chatterbox. I consider it a compliment. I'm not going to say. But, Janice, you tell us a story about when you went to a place where you didn't know anybody and you networked.
Okay.
Think you want, if you want 5 minutes to think about it, you can come back.
You're
groaning. It better be good.
No, just, Animal, the fact that you yourself don't have any examples of when you went somewhere and met somebody you didn't know, that's the sad part of this whole show.
Yeah, that is the sad part, Jerry.
It really
that's
is.
That's not what I'm good at. I'm just not good at that, Jer. Oh, speaking
this whole,
of which.
Your whole series for months now has been about stuff that you can't do.
Well, isn't that why I'm asking the questions?
This isn't about August. This is about your issues. It's finally dawning on me.
Yeah, okay. You know what? Jerry, I keep saying, anybody else want to ask a question? Nobody speaks up. I have to draw in my own well, okay? Bring stuff
Animal,
up.
Can
I
can
only
me?
See things. Yes,
okay, we have a caller.
Go ahead.
Losing control, Animal.
Okay, here's the thing.
Somebody
what
just said I have a question. Who was that?
It's A Stringer, your buddy. He didn't follow through. Okay,
I'm
talking about
it. I'm here. Hello.
Okay,
I'm here.
Ask your question. Ask your question.
I've been at a place I couldn't talk. I'm exploding to talk. It's not even a question. It's a, you know, we keep going over networking over and over and over again. I'm of the strong opinion everybody who's at a networking event is there for the exact same purpose. What the hell's wrong with just walking up to them and saying, "Hi, what do you do? Here's what I do. Let's talk."
That's what we said. We've been saying that the whole time.
That's
like, yep.
What we're doing here, Mike.
Yep.
Right,
well,
no,
I
think he stated it differently. Don't put the guy down. I like he had a refreshing way to put it. But here's another question. Mike or Janice or Augie, what if you're talking to somebody and you're sitting down at the table next to them, you've been set at a meal or something, and that person has bad breath? And don't tell me it doesn't happen. It happened to me. And I wasn't the one with the breath. I don't know. Maybe mine was bad, too. But the other guy was killer.
Maybe get out of their face, Animal. Back off a little bit.
Can you tell him, August, will you tell someone, listen, I think you need some chewing gum or certs or something like that?
No. I don't get into it. Do not get into it. You know, this person you don't know, you're stuck there a limited amount of time. You talk to the person. If they're on the left, you talk to the person on the right. You excuse yourself. You go to the, you know, you try to sit at another table. You go to the ladies' room. You go get a drink. Just, no, don't go down that path.
End the conversation quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's sitting right beside you, Mike. You're only having the appetizer, and you got a whole meal ahead of you. And they're
well,
not
you're at a networking event, and you're sitting in the same chair the whole time. Shame on you.
Okay, you never
mouth
been to, you know, you never been to a place where they have dinner. It's not a dinner. Okay, I won't drag it out this time. Look, if everybody else has ideas, there's 14 people on the line. Surely somebody could come up with a topic to talk about. Go ahead. I don't have to be the guy.
Well, one of the questions that was posted when you called for it was, you know, should I have a drink at a if it's a cocktail party? I mean, these are the kind of, you know, they sound simple, but these are the kind of things that people sit around and think about. And sure, have a drink if it's a cocktail party, but be self-aware. Control your liquor. Don't be drinking, you know, don't go overboard.
Okay, what about Maureen had a question. Maureen, are you on the line?
I'm here.
Why don't you ask any of your questions when I give time? You had a half a dozen of them yesterday. She wanted to know about going with a networking buddy, working a room together.
Absolutely. You know, it depends. It's better to go and then sort of separate at some point. But, sure, having a friend to go with you, you know, you don't want to creep people out. You know, that's one of my networking caveats, don't creep people out. You know, so if you're going in, you know, if you're looking like a little, you know, high school clique or something, you don't want to do that. But it's certainly okay if it makes you feel more comfortable. You go, you can have one be the wingman, the wingwoman. You can tag team it. You can bring people over to introduce. You find somebody that, you know, has a business opportunity for your friends. You bring them over. So it's totally okay if it's not too creepy.
Well,
yeah, okay.
You know what
go
I'll
ahead,
do?
Go ahead, Jen. Go ahead.
If you go, Boy Wonder and I, when we go, we purposely split because if we don't, then a third party may think they're interrupting our conversation and not come up to us.
Well, no, if the two of you are there, no one will be able to break into your conversation. speaking of which, August, you go into a room, everybody's in groups. How do you bust into the conversation?
Ask permission. You know, if you just boldly bust in, you know, you're going to offend people. Think about how you would like to be approached and just ask permission. You just say, you know, I heard you were talking about Salesforce.com. We're thinking about you know, loading in at our office. Do you mind if I jump into the conversation? You know, do you mind? It sounds intriguing. Or this is the first time I'm here. I don't know anybody. Do you mind if I step in and talk to you guys? Just ask for permission, and people will typically be very, very welcoming, contrary to if you just walk in and, you know, plop yourself, you can be a little bit abrasive. So, yeah, just ask permission.
Hey,
I'm
Animal,
who's going to say no?
You want to hear my story?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got a question for August.
No, I got a question. We want to hear Janice's story, then we'll get your question.
And
go ahead.
Don't be screaming at me, ma'am.
Don't drag it out. Tell it well.
Walk into laundry room at Disney World to do laundry. Woman on treadmill, doing really, really well. And I said, boy, I wish I could do what you're doing, and I need you to do more of it. We started talking. She says, I don't get enough time. She was the first marketing manager, marketing director of Yahoo years and years ago. And we formed a relationship, just started by talking one woman to another about working out. They happened to have a treadmill in the laundry room at the Disney hotel, and I started talking.
Oh, my.
You know what?
I'm a schmoozer. Anybody ever talk to anybody on airplanes?
All the time, yeah.
When you're stuck on the tarmac and you're not going anywhere?
Yeah.
Perfect
so
place. Thanks,
who had...
Somebody had a question for August.
Jeff Lipschultz.
Lippy here?
Yeah.
Have you got over being dumped? You got dumped by his partner.
I wouldn't call him dumped, no. Hey, so August, the question is, we've been talking the entire time about networking meetings, except for Janice's last statement right there. Are there other forms of networking you'd recommend other than just going to meetings?
Sure.
The top three or something like that, since we're running out of time?
Yeah, one of the favorites that I have is the continuing education. You know, there's free ones, there's paid ones, a lunch and learn, you know, a topic that you have interest in, a new product coming out. Those type of events are the least threatening for people who are uncomfortable with networking. You can go in, you know, meet with like-minded people, especially if you're in the industry. I like those. There's events through LinkedIn. I often look at people that I'm interested in getting to know better, what kind of events that they're going to. You know, I tip for job seekers. I tell them to typically avoid job-seeking events, but usually the events calendar in a business journal or on LinkedIn offers a lot of different opportunities for networking, association meetings. You can go as guests. You know, chamber events, even if you're not a member, you can try out a bunch of different associations, chamber events as a guest and see if you like them. Those type of things for young people, the JCs. Those are a few examples.
You know, Julia Stone was on this show a couple of years ago, and she gave a good example. She said she goes to these Chamber of Commerce meetings in Madison, Wisconsin. The thing is, she takes the opposite tack to you. She doesn't ask questions that draw people to her. She gives answers that make people think she's smarter than she is, and then they come to talk to her after and give her business.
Sure. Well, if you're in a position where you can give an answer, but if the panel, if you're asking questions of a panel, usually you're not going to stand up and give the answer. You know,
well, you can correct one of the people. You can correct one of the people on the panel. Hey, I think you're wrong.
You might not make too many friends that way. Not too many
Why
people
not?
Want to do business
Why not?
With you. Yeah.
Why not? If you're there and I point out clearly, I point out that the expert is wrong, you think people don't think I'm pretty smart and they're not going to come over to me after and say, he trumped her. She came as the expert and he knows more than her. Come on.
Yeah, try that, and then we'll have a show about how it worked out.
Now, Maureen wants to know, are you a networking groupie?
No.
Sounds like
it. Part of what I do
is... What is a networking groupie? Is there an addiction for networking? Is there a 12-step group? Is there a 12-step group for networking?
Tell her to define networking. What does networking group mean? Is that once a week, three times a week?
Are 12-step groups good for networking?
No.
Why not? You really get to know about people.
I don't think that's an appropriate environment.
Gotta do better than this animal.
Okay. Okay, we're getting near to the end, as Jeff Lipschultz said. Yeah, Lippy hasn't been here for such a long time. What is the riding season over or something like that?
Well, in a matter of speaking, it is, sure.
Well, do you have it? So you want to chat a bit? You want to talk to August about something that you've got lots? You're a networking type guy. You like helping people. Just, do you have something to recommend that, that we haven't covered?
Well, I would just say that I like a lot of the ideas she had. I think if you do ask questions in front of a lot of other people or give answers, maybe you will draw people to you. And I think that's a kind of unobtrusive way of doing it. And I also thought that when we were talking about the elevator speech, my two cents on that is just, I think it's all in the way you start a conversation. If you start with your elevator speech, you're just kind of being a little abrupt, I think. And we talked about just having conversations, and people eventually ask you what you do. And for me, you just act natural. You don't act like you're, being on pins and needles here, trying to find a job. Or
you know, those are all song names. Act naturally.
Really?
The Beatles did that. Needles and Pins. The Searchers. Jackie DeShannon.
There must be something to that, Animal.
Yeah, that's probably, every word you say is a song title. Dave Manister, yeah. Kingfish Dave. Before we finish, Dave, you organize these conferences. Do you give people networking tips?
I don't give people networking tips. I'm not the greatest networker, but we try to create an environment where people can talk to each other and have a good time. And, you know, we kind of just set the environment where people are able to
What is the environment where people are able to network? What do you do to make it conducive?
We serve a lot of alcohol.
August?
The networking facilitators can do little things to help people network. They can have a badge bar, and you can give everybody a question that they have to ask. So there's things that you can do, you know, if you have a group and you want to do it. But like I said, I think JJ summed everything up very nicely on what you need to do for networking, which is just be nice and polite and have fun and don't overthink it. Don't read too many of these books.
No, don't.
Animal, you're hosting a networking event right here. With
Am
the radio
I?
Show. Sure
really?
You are.
We're just a bunch of old pals here. Is that networking?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not really.
Sure, considering I didn't know any of these people before I tuned into the show for the first time, absolutely.
Business networking is meeting new people so you can sell them whatever you're selling. Essentially,
meeting new people for whatever, for support, for help, for a job.
Oh,
baloney.
That's
for
not networking.
Lead.
Networking is you want some kind of business out of it. In fact, you know, getting to know you, shifting your business my way, seeing if you mean money to me, weren't those the original lyrics to the song?
Well, sometimes you helping someone else or giving someone else business will ultimately lead back to you.
You know what
so
they say? You know what? The first thing, if you get in this recruiting business, they'll tell you, recruiting is not social work. You're not there to help those people, okay? No one's going to pay you for finding someone a job for free or rewriting his resume. Jerry, am I right? Yes or no?
That's a different. You're twisting around what it is. That's
yeah, you're twisting it around. I won't comment on that. That won't be a party to that.
It around. You know, August, I got to tell you, we're almost done. But I thought you promised to come here and be tough on me, to yell at me, to put me in my place with all kinds of bury me in facts. You know what? We'll see how you did. Because we're just about to go to Jerry's show. Thank you, August.
Hi, everybody.
What
Hi,
up?
Jerry.
What up?
What up, you good?
Everybody get out and vote yesterday? Everybody
yep.
do your part?
Si, senor.
Interesting show today.
I voted a couple times.
Chicago.
They pay you to do that?
I
wonder how many millions Where's we spend in those little sticky notes, little stickers.
I got I have three of them.
Yeah, no kid.
Cool.
Good show. I think networking is hard to nail down. I mean, you can ask some people, and okay, what's the formal? It's overanalyzed. Well, what's the formal networking? That's literally getting out there with the intent and purpose. Or I networked yesterday when I was voting because I sat and talked to some lady in line and she asked me what I did for a living. I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know who bugs me is the networking real estate guy.
Okay.
There's this dude that for I don't know how, anywhere I go, there he is. Greg Brown, he's got another business card. Know anybody moving to town? How's the search business going, Jerry? And it's
yeah,
like,
but you know
ah.
him. You know him. Would you send businesses away if you did? Know somebody
hey,
coming
Jerry.
To town?
Jerry.
He might be working.
Probably.
I
already did one time. Yeah, but...
It's working.
Only because I know I can get it. He can get it done because he's a hard-working guy.
Well, there you go. So it works.
Not because
though.
I want him to be successful. He's a chump.
We hate it when our friends are successful. Is that right, Morgan?
Yeah, he's not my friend.
Uh huh.
He's actually the bonehead that sold the house to my sister-in-law. So, and he lives in the addition. So anytime there's a birthday party. You don't need a real estate guy at your kid's birthday party. Hey, Jerry. Hey, Greg.
This sounds like a reality TV show. No.
Passing out lighters with his
awesome.
Name on it.
On my fridge is the Greg Brown Real Estate
yeah.
football calendar. It's got the Colts, IU, and Purdue on there. I mean, I've got to use it. I get to stare at his bald head every time I want to see what time the game is Sunday.
And they put their picture where the magnet is so that you can't cut its picture out or else it'll fall off the refrigerator. You know,
yeah.
That?
Yeah,
I've
heard about
hey, Jerry, he's got his face on his car, too, doesn't he? Come on, he's got that picture on his car.
Smiley.
His face on
you know those bald guys, Andy.
Hey, Jerry, I got to get going. Can I give it a score?
Yeah, man.
9-9 this time around. I actually enjoyed this one a lot.
Why?
I thought it was a good conversation. I thought it flowed. There were a couple of rough spots in there, but I just thought it went. Yeah, I thought it went well.
Okay, thanks for your contribution, Dave.
You bet. Talk to you soon.
All right, man. Later.
Later.
Okay, let's get some scores pretty quick because I'm in the middle of some international stuff this afternoon.
International man of mystery.
Yeah, international. Well, plus I'm getting back on Twitter, and I know that's going to waste a lot of my time.
Got
a budget.
No kidding.
Have
you Twitter yet?
What's
Jerry,
that?
Just pick times of day and let us know, okay? Don't make it your whole day. Don't install
That's what
them.
I'm going to do. And this time I'm going to have zero expectation because there
yeah.
is no business happening there for
you
recruiters.
Made that clear. You made that very clear.
Have
oh, and I'm going to make it clear
yet?
Again.
Have you yet?
I'm going to change my shtick altogether. I'm just strictly there for the fun and camaraderie. Humor.
I didn't know it was for anything else.
Lots
really.
Of that over there.
Yeah, yeah, so...
Can I give mine? I'm going to give them an 8 and an 8.
Maureen.
You didn't eight. Chew out David's ass when he gave a 9 and a 9, so don't chew out
he's
mine.
He's respected in the community.
Oh,
wow.
I got it.
Brutal.
Okay, I can accept that.
And you got no points with David because he's gone. Too bad.
Oh,
man. Okay, let's hit some other scores here then. Andy.
You know, I'll just go 9-9, straight up.
This is shaping up to be one of the best shows ever now? I mean,
no.
Come on.
I thought you did a good job. I thought Animal was good. It was all good.
So now if it's a good job, everybody gets a 9. That's where we are with this?
No.
Let's move on to some... Hopefully some deeper thinkers here.
Jeez.
Who's next?
Well, this is Nick, and I'll go 6 and 7.
Nick Palmer?
Yes, sir.
6 for the guest.
Oh, no, for Animal 6 and guest 7.
Okay. And care to share any reasoning for those obviously
I
well-determined
think the
scores?
Yeah, I start with a 0, and, you know, they get points and go up from there. So it depends on how many points they get. I'm a tough scorer.
Yeah.
But I think that your psychoanalysis of the focusing on the deficiencies of the animal as through his questioning was extremely apt. And that is the key reason why I didn't go with 9s.
Okay.
Not
now,
enough
yeah.
angst, too much animal angst.
Gotcha. I like it. You, so far, get the best scorer award for the day.
Well, thank you.
I may tweet that. I may tweet
now?
That.
Wow. It's gotten complicated since I've been gone.
Oh, yeah, man. You get on a bike and you come back and you don't know what's happening.
Everything changes.
Yeah. Hey, what are your scores for the day? Hit us with it.
I'll give 7 for Animal. I thought he was better than usual, and he lacked I didn't like the monologue at all today. Couldn't follow it, really, and didn't want to hear about his unusual habits. And then... you know, he was interrupting a little too much, but I did like it's above. I guess it's a high mark for me. You know,
I did like the fact that he did his research. He brought in a resource, a book he read. So he did his homework, and he was prepared to provide material, maybe even a 7.5. I know you don't like the halvesies, but eight might
be too
high.
I've got no way to account for
I know you don't. That's
non-whole.
We'll give it 7. You'll round down. In August, I think, is a 9. I mean, she was close to perfect. She hadn't answered everything he was asking, and she didn't get snowballed by the animal, which I didn't
expect. Held her ground.
Held her ground, and was able to answer my question very quickly, so she knows her stuff. So 9.
Okay. Yeah. How was your bike ride, man?
It was kind of epic. It would take the rest of your show to talk about it, but it was kind of a way of life for 40 days. For those who don't know, I was crossing the country from Santa Barbara to Charleston, South Carolina for the last 40 days up until last week.
Now, many of us who pay attention to the social media goings-on of everybody in the world noticed that you came back to being down one on the old recruiting bullpen. What's that all about?
Down one? Oh, you mean Craig?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, Craig, you know, we talked about while I was gone, he had a monster opportunity for him. He's been in the recruiting world forever, and he's really, his strongest suit is on the sales side, business development side. It always has been at A-List, too. We were together for 3 years, and he and I talked about it. He had an offer that I wouldn't have refused.
Okay,
so,
cool.
You know. He's on it. A-List lives on.
Are you
going
to change your name
not?
To B-List or anything, or are you sticking with A?
No, I think I'll still give A-List candidates to my clients. I
okay.
Think, you know?
All right, man. We wish you the
all
best with that. Yeah, Craig's
I'll
a good
be
guy.
On you for I'll help, Jerry. Jerry, you're gonna have to be relied upon now. I'm sorry.
People rely on me across the country and parts of Canada.
Well, there you go.
Okay, on to the next score. Let's move, people. Let's go, go, go!
Chop, chop.
International.
International. Are you getting Chinese food for lunch? That's your business?
No, but my son went as a box of Chinese takeout for Halloween. It was pretty neat costume.
Some ramen noodles?
Yeah. Little box decorated up with Chinese writing on it. We don't know what it said. We hope
Jerry, score. Jerry, focus.
Scores, please. Who do we have?
Jeremy, I give Animal 7. He didn't establish what we mean by networking because it's so it's just so ambiguous or whatever. It's just there's so much that can be done with it, so it needs to be defined. And August, I give her an 8, and the reason is what kept her from a 9 was examples. Tell me examples where you've been in it, done it, and how it worked, and you know how you're using it successfully, and how your clients are using it successfully.
You mean like from a larger perspective, not just a one time she met some guy and he said this and she said that. Next thing you know,
sure,
he's got an invoice.
One great story that my mom did not tell, because she's the master at doing this. She as she says, picked up a guy in the Las Vegas airport, and what she did there essentially was start talking to a group of people that worked here at Lieber in town. Lo and behold, that's where they're from, and she snagged one as a client, as a full coach client, and that was that's a pretty good story that doesn't happen every day, or it does and doesn't happen to most people, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, story in the gym, there in the hotel or whatever. I mean, so the point is you can network anywhere.
Exactly. I mean, that chick being from Yahoo back then, it probably was, it didn't mean as much, but now it's like, man, you know, Yahoo? Are you kidding me? The first marketing
director? I guess that's a good cardinal rule then for networking, right? Don't necessarily attach value to where they work so quickly.
Well, absolutely. That's one. But the second is the whole thing is it a structured networking, a formal or an informal? And that's what I would like to have more of in the show to define each of those.
Mm. Mm-hmm. What do you think about not having a canned elevator speech? Don't you have to have some reasonable gathering of thoughts about who you are and what you do when someone in a scheduled networking event?
Well, it's funny you say canned elevator speech. It's almost redundant, right?
Sure.
And I think the canned is kind of a value statement there. Elevator speech is just being prepared to talk about what you do. If it sounds canned, then it sounds artificial and like you're a robot and you're spitting it out. You might even want to be able to
take your elevator speech and drop it into, you know, cut it into pieces and just bait them along a little bit, make them ask questions, and then give them parts of your elevator speech a little bit at a time, like a conversation, so it doesn't sound, quote-unquote, canned. Right, Jerry?
Yeah.
I mean, canned is the whole problem.
Yeah, but...
You should be able to talk about yourself without going, right before you start talking.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be able to present yourself in a very, you know, intelligent way, but
okay, so what happens when you run into the person that it sounds like they're stumbling through their introduction?
Then you start wondering,
I mean, do we just dismiss these people? Do we say, oh, man, you haven't rehearsed your canned thing enough to where it doesn't sound canned? Or can't we just give everybody a break?
Yeah, we should. I'm just saying that's what tends to happen with a lot of people is when they sound, you know, too rehearsed or whatever. It's like, God, how long have you been at this, looking for a job or looking for clients, or you just sound like the real estate guy down the street.
Mm.
But I mean, you're right. As human beings, we should kind of hold on a second, slow down, buddy. What is it you do again? And give them a second chance. I'm a big advocate of the last impression, not the first impression.
Mm.
Yeah, there
you
go.
Know?
The impression left at about 2:15 when the bartender's saying no.
You might want to make
okay,
it before,
I don't care who's
you
buying,
make it
you're all
closing. You might want to make it for closing, but by then you might not be in a position to make a good last impression. But I think though, yeah, you're right. Let people kind of say what they have to say, get it out, and then draw it. You know what, Jerry? You know engineers, right? Engineers don't interview very well, right? They're very smart.
Yep, yep,
they
yep.
can do a lot of things. And if I used to tell my direct reports when I worked at my last job. I'd tell them when they were interviewing engineers, I said, listen, don't judge them on how they interview. Judge them on what they know and what they can do. Don't judge them on how they interview, because we're not hiring professional interviewees. We're hiring engineers,
mm-hmm.
right? So to answer your question, I mean, you got to be, if you're good at what you do, what we do, what you and I do, we have to see through that, and then we also have to convey that to our client. Hey, this guy, where are you going to be putting him? If he's going to be sitting at a desk doing analysis day after day after day, I can tell you right now, he's awesome in analysis, he's decent in talking with people, but he's probably going to be a little shy in the interview. Set the expectations, and you might just walk through that okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you ask a little question, you get a big answer, but that's my two cents.
Any other scores? Is this it?
This is it.
Well, you lost.
I'm
going to
give
Jerry.
My scores. Jerry.
What are your scores?
Yeah, 7 for the guest.
You agree with me. Oh, for the guest. Why?
6 for Animal.
Mm.
Why?
The guest, I mean, it's partially Animal's fault. I mean, I just wasn't interested in it. I found myself staring out the window, you know.
At the corn burner?
That's around the back.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And looking at my dog, messing with the cats out there. So possibly my own mental drifting. Didn't
well, how
have
about
me plugged
six on
in.
The subject matter, but how'd she do as a guest?
Good, but I think that it has. That's a good question.
Because it's really the host's fault on the subject matter.
That's why he got a 6.
Okay, then don't punish August.
Are you taking over my scoring?
Not at all. Just throwing it out there. Just saying.
Just holding it to the same standards as you would hold this scoring.
That's right.
You're saying I ought to bump that up to an 8, then?
I'm saying just consider that not the subject matter, but how she did as a guest. That's all I'm saying.
Okay,
you,
it wasn't
you
her
move
fault.
It any way you want.
Networking is just kind of boring. I mean, it's...
So then the host shouldn't have a networking dialogue hour show, but how did August do?
Is she paying you money? Does she owe you any money?
No.
Do you owe her money?
Nope, not yet.
Here's
I'd like,
thing
to,
for
I'd like
women,
to owe her money.
I like August. She's cool.
Yeah.
You know?
So.
All right, I'm giving her an 8.
There you go.
Don't think you're going to squeeze a 9 out of me. I mean.
No, I'm not trying. I'm not trying.
Anybody else have anything to say on this fine Wednesday, the first Wednesday of the 11th month?
Well, can
the
I?
The first
I
mean, day of the hopefully solution to America's ills.
I knew that was coming. I don't know how many we still have on here, but I'm curious how the other parts of the country, outside of the elections, how they've seen business lately. Is it bumping up like it is in Texas a bit?
Is it bumping up? Are people seeing some increase in volume and jobs?
I'm seeing a good increase. I've been seeing it for about 2 months.
Remind me where you are, Maureen.
Cincinnati. But
that doesn't matter
because I, you know, work all over.
You're international.
Most of my work is here in the country.
You're seeing a bump up? What about others?
Definite bump up.
Yeah, west, south, and northeast, all crazy across the board.
Good. Jerry, you
did things ever really
now?
Slow in Texas? Did things ever really slow in Texas?
It's all relative, right? I mean, it slowed some. I even think it was the shape of a W a little bit. It's relative. We were the last
interesting
one.
Interesting Texas W.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying an interesting correlation.
You think so?
Texas and W.
Oh, and W. Funny. Yes, exactly.
He was the president, Maureen.
Oh, I remember him. He was at the Rangers game the other night.
Heck of a pitcher. I mean, he
no,
got it out there. I mean, Obama, it hit the ground, man.
Damn. Now we're evaluating our presidents, past and present, by their ability to throw a ball.
There's something to be said about testosterone.
We'll have to have them go through a drill before they
even get
nominated.
Kings have been decided on less.
Really? Well, just their genes, right?
That's true.
And I'm not talking Levi's. Well, anyway, yeah, Texas did, I think, have a W. I think its W was smaller than everybody else's. So, yeah, we're on the upswing. Hopefully it stays that way. We're certainly
what's the stock market doing today?
What is it doing today?
Down.
Yeah.
Well, all the love is gone from...
Yeah, big down?
Yep, election day.
Is it
well,
big
I'll take
down?
A look for you, Maureen.
13.
13 points?
Yeah.
13.62.
That's nothing. That's nothing. That's level.
Yeah, it's still strong. It doesn't look like there was a big reaction either way, so.
Yep.
All right. Anybody else have any interesting tidbits to share?
I have a really good one.
Tidbit.
Who's this?
This is Nick Palmer.
Oh, okay, Nick Palmer.
So yesterday I'm doing work, you know, like making money, and all of a sudden one of my little chat things pops up from Facebook with a friend of mine saying, "Hey, I'm in London. I got mugged at gunpoint last night. I need help." I'm like, first off, okay, if you get mugged in London, you're probably going to get mugged with a knife. Second off, I know you're coming up on vacation to Northern New England this weekend, so you ain't in London today.
Uh-oh, a new scam.
Oh, yeah, totally. Completely with the, you know, here's
usually
a list
that's
of
by
what,
email, so they did it by chat. That hasn't been done by email a lot, you know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but now they've commandeered chat, and they're sending you, is it on Facebook?
It was through Facebook chat that I got hit with that, yeah. But
wow.
Totally was. We got the guy's account locked down and had a few people tossing.
How did you get the account locked down? You actually got a hold of someone at Facebook?
How did
that work?
We got the person who owned the account to get aware of what was going on, and he was able to log in, change all the passwords, shut everything down. He had to delete a few things on his side, and we're still figuring out how they actually hacked into it. But
Jerry, that is the true pain in the ass associated with social media.
It is.
Because when Twitter, like 2 years ago, or whenever, a year ago or whatever, had all of our passwords getting hacked, I went through that twice in 2 weeks, and I was like ready. I was so close to never tweeting again. I was like, this is too much work to fix broken shit. I don't have time for this. You know,
that's
where I really get sick of social media. What's that?
That scam happened to Carla Porter a little while back, and she was actually talking to the guy. She was like, "Hey, you know, douchebag, give me my stuff back here." And I think she ended up reporting it to either Gmail or Google or Yahoo, whichever client she used, and ended up they cleared it up and gave her stuff back.
I mean,
but
this stuff happened.
And what I think is people choose one email password for several accounts, and that's probably how he was able to hack into his Facebook as well.
Very possibly, although this person is pretty good with his InfoSec, so I don't know about that. But my guess is he left his phone sitting around too long, and somebody grabbed his phone. And that seems to be what the real story is that somebody actually grabbed a personal device. and was able to use access through the personal device to get into the other accounts and facilitate.
That's gonna increase.
I tell you, a lot of these things, like these Twitter tools or the different things,
yeah.
they say, hey, give me your Twitter name and your password, and I'll go sort out who's talking about you or how many mentions or your rank or whatever.
I don't get into any of that.
Yeah, most people, I mean, they don't really look at the security of that place. They're like, oh, yeah, another Twitter tool, and they put their name and their password in there, and
they do the same password for everything. These are people that got on Twitter after all that crap I was just talking about, and they haven't been through the pain of having their account taken hostage. And people that have been on it longer don't do the allows on all these apps. I mean, I won't do any of them because it's like I'm never going to use them. I don't care about it. And Facebook too. You know, I don't want to know which animal you would be if you were an animal, and I'll just kill all that stuff so that it's as simple as possible. So you're keeping the likelihood as low as possible of being hostage. That's what I say. But if you don't know better, you say yes to everything.
The other thing I would say, Jerry, about you coming back on Twitter is I would recommend that you follow my approach, which is never follow more than 100 or 125 people. And most people that I know, especially in the recruiting space, already have their Twitter accounts linked into their LinkedIn account. So I see all their tweets coming over LinkedIn anyway.
Wait, now, when you say 100, follow 100, do you mean you only follow 100 period, or there's 100 that you will follow like in a stream in your...
Oh, no, I only will follow up to... Well, I'm at like 130 right now. I need to peel it back down.
Seriously, just 130. If I go to your account, it'll say following 130.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're not even using Twitter. You're just using it as a chat tool.
Pretty much.
Right?
But here's the thing, is that I'm going to see most of the stuff that you post anyway through my LinkedIn and Signal feeds. So,
jeez, no kidding, man.
Yeah, so I don't necessarily want to see it two times or three times or wherever it is. I want to customize each.
Here's another way of doing the same thing. I think we all know what I'm going to say.
With
groups. I mean, I have the recruiters all in one group. If I want to see what the recruiters are talking about today, I put that one up on Seismic. And
yep.
I never, hardly ever, look at the leftmost stream, which is everybody. So it doesn't matter how many I follow. I mean, that's something Craig would tell you if he was on here. He has thousands and thousands. He doesn't look at that one. He just follows certain people through a column.
Yeah, see, I got
and
over.
Is the same thing.
I got overloaded on it. It's just like, you know, far too much stuff that I could give a care about.
Yeah, but
Jerry,
the bottom line is, if you only look at it at lunchtime and at the end of your workday, no one these days. I don't think people expect you to tweet back the minute you're tweeted. If I send you, hey, I need to talk to you. Most likely it's not like right this minute. If it was, I'd call you, right? So
mm-hmm.
I just say, hey, I need to ask you a question, and it's not urgent. I might throw it in there if we were constantly on there, which I'm not either, so I probably wouldn't use that method anyway, but some people would. But, I mean, I don't think they expect you to tweet right back anymore.
Well,
I'm just going to drop
to zero my expectation for it. It's not a business tool, at least for my desk. So I'm just going to go ahead and have fun. If I have some free time and ready for some chit-chat or whatever.
Right.
You know, I mean, if I'm sitting at the doctor's office waiting for my son to wait his half hour after his allergy shots before we can split, he's doing his homework, and I've got half an hour,
I'll check out Twitter.
Let
me ask you this. I mean, obviously recruiters are trying to use it, you know, to try and load their pipeline with more potential candidates, whatever else. And like you said, in your line of work, those candidates may not even be on Twitter, and we've talked about that, so we won't talk about it again.
But I'm tired of trying to dig for them.
I think another theory is, I think Twitter and Facebook, and don't quote me on this, but I think it's for people that are working, they're in a situation where they're alone a lot, whether it be a home office, whether it be, maybe alone. Maybe
no, you're not. Not when you're on Twitter, Jerry.
You know,
yeah.
That's the thing.
I mean,
like, you're
don't...
never alone if you got your
or
Twitter
Facebook.
Stream rolling.
No, I
right?
mean,
yeah, that's right.
You don't
that
see anybody when you go get a cup of coffee in the break room because it's just
that's
me.
That's right. I mean,
I've had a guy working here with me for the last 2 months, and we've been having a great time.
That's why you don't need Twitter. You've got someone to talk to.
Yeah, somebody.
Yeah. But I normally shut down during the holidays.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just going to be a part of the chit-chat stuff, you know.
Oh,
I mean?
So we're going to see a big tick up in volume from Jerry.
Yeah.
And then you've got your big turkey roast going on. You got to plan
Turkey Bird Jam, baby, the day after Thanksgiving. If you play a guitar, come on over.
What if you don't?
You invite just about anybody. It's big. It's huge.
You got to play something, Maureen.
Okay.
You didn't tell me that was a requirement when we were in Madison, Jerry.
Oh, different strokes for different folks.
Well,
he knows
I won't come all the way up from Texas. He can throw that out there, you know.
You're a singer, man.
Though. Jerry, I think he knows I can sing.
Tore it up. Okay, everybody. I have work to do. Got to get on Twitter. International.
Jerry, don't be a stranger, okay?
All right, man. I hope everybody has a great rest of the week, and see you on Twitter all the time, constantly.
24/7.
24/7, baby! Later.
Bye. Later.